What did it say? Do what? Give thanks. Give thanks. Say it a little louder. What did it say? Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Thank you. May you all have a blessed and happy Thanksgiving time. God is good, isn't He? And we've all been blessed in so many, many different ways. Certainly a blessing to see Sister Nancy here today. Mel and I are deeply touched by Nancy's life over the years, and she's been a wonderful encourager to us in many, many different ways. And words can't express how grateful we are to be able to have and still have her in our lives. This as well as Bonnie, you know, hop along Bonnie. It's really good to have you, Bonnie. All you've gone through, and we really appreciate seeing you and the faithfulness and the wanting to be here and the desiring to be here. We're going to talk to you about a prayer of thanksgiving. We want you to see what's involved with that. What is involved in having and developing a life where your prayer is filled with thankfulness? And why? Why are there those who don't and cannot somehow have difficulty praying with thanksgiving in their hearts and having a whole expression and understanding that that is indeed the will of God, that you and I be thankful? And then the end result, of course, is the fruitfulness of it. What is the end result? What's the fruit of having and being a thankful people? You know, as you look at 2 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles, David, the Bible says that in the 16th chapter, when David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. And then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the Lord of Israel. And appointed these different individuals, and they came and with their musical instruments of harps and lyres, and some played loud cymbals. And then there were those who blew the trumpet continually before the ark of the Lord. Go give thanks, verse 8, to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all of His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord with His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels, and the judgments from His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, the chosen ones, give thanks. What's the end result of that aspect of bringing and coming before God with a continual heart of praise and thanksgiving? Is number one is the fact that He called upon them to remember. Remember all the things that God has done in the past. Remember all the wonderful blessings and all the way that He had delivered you and all of His provisions for you as His people. Remember that. But it's not just good enough to remember it for our own self. Proclaim it. Talk about it. Let other people know about how good God has been in your life. Declare it unto the people. Talk of His marvelous blessing that He has shared in your life. Let the world know that you have a Father in heaven who is a tremendous, unbelievable God who likes and loves blessing His people and wants His people to be grateful. Talk about it. Remember it. Don't forget all the good things that you have and have had in your individual life. Share it with other people. He said that very clearly. Glory in His name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Be glad. If you truly are a grateful people, you will be a person who is continuously glorifying God. You will talk of His glory, and you will show it to others by your spirit of thankfulness. That's how you demonstrate the glory of God, is by being thankful. The people, when they walk in your life, walk into a person's heart that is filled with gladness and thankfulness. That's how you glorify God, by being thankful. And then you offer gifts. You offer up gifts to people like David did. And the aspects of it is that you give, and you give not only your time and your energy and all the aspects of your life, but you realize that everything you have that God has given you, He gave to you to be able to bless other people. Not to hoard it, not to build your bigger barns, but He blesses His people to be a blessing to others. And it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, Jesus said. Happy people, thankful people, are giving people. They really are. So Thanksgiving is a great American day for you and me in America today, but it didn't originate with us. No, it didn't. It was a day 3,000 years earlier that God indeed instructed, if you will, Israel. In Exodus 23:16, He told Moses that thou shalt keep the Feast of Harvest. The Feast of Harvest was a harvest of thankfulness and celebrating the harvest that God was being and thanking God for the crops and all the good things that they were going to receive as a result of God blessing them as a people. He goes on, and the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is the end of the year, when you have gathered in the labors out of the field. When do we have Thanksgiving? Isn't it at the end of the harvest year? Harvesting the corn, the soybeans, and all the other things that man has harvested today. God said at that point in time, you have a feast day. So what do? We feast. I think Lloyd said, pig out. Something like that. I was sharing with Marilyn the other day, you know, and you think about what you and I are going to have on our table. And all the good things that are going to be there for us to eat. And how many millions and millions of people in this world have never seen a table like that? Never. And we'll go to bed hungry, starving to death. And yet we'll sit there and many times just take it as it is for granted. You see, the prayers of thanksgiving are the day as is that which opens the gate of God's love to us. I want to say that again. I'm saying it because the prayers of thanksgiving is that which opens the gates of God's love. And the more thankful you are, the broader and the wider the gate of God can open to you and He can pour out His blessings on you. When you look back on Israel and see her murmuring and complaining and how she fell and died and those people died in the wilderness, it was because they were ungrateful and unthankful. But all they had to do was turn back to God and say thank you and praise Him and honor Him and be grateful to Him for all the things that He had done. Remember, Psalms 92:1-2, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, Most High, to declare Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness by night. So what is that saying? That means every morning you get up, you should be declaring that you're going to experience that day the loving kindness of God. And that when you go to bed at night, you should be able to sit down and lay and give a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking Him for His faithfulness that you experienced that day. Rising up in the morning, being glad and thankful for His loving kindness that He's going to shower upon you. Going to bed at night with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving for the fact that you have shared and you have experienced His faithfulness through the day. And saying thank you, God, for being faithful. He is a faithful Father. The Bible says, waver not, because God who promised is faithful. You're not going to change. When do you declare His loving kindness? How do you get up in the morning? Are you glad for another day? How many of you lay down, flop down in bed, and say, oh man, it is good to be here. In bed, that is. And how many times do you go to bed with gladness and thanksgiving and praise because you have experienced the faithfulness of God through the daytime? His loving kindness endures forever. Forever. God is loving kindness. And His loving kindness endures forever. Forever and forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Short little verses. First one says, rejoice always. Rejoice always.
Second verse, verse 8, 17, pray without what? Ceasing. That means you're in a continual attitude of expressing gratitude and praise and thanksgiving to God. That is what your prayers ought to be. They ought to be filled with expressing to God how grateful you are that you've shared that day His loving kindness and that He's been faithful to you through that day, and yet ought to lay you down at night, and by that you could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters. How many of you need that today? We need it today. It says, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's amazing how difficult we try to make life by wanting to understand, what's God's will for me? What is God's will? What does He want? What does God will? What's this? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. What? God's will for you is to be thankful. What God wants is a thankful people. That's what He wants. He wants a thankful people. A people whose hearts are filled with gratitude for His loving kindness and for His faithfulness. That's what He wants. You see, if I had this great big pile of sand, and somebody told me in that sand there was a lot of little teeny iron particles, I could get down and start digging through the sand, trying to feel them out and see them with my eyes, and it would be impossible. But if you gave me a very strong, powerful magnet, and I begin to go through that sand and take that magnet and begin to sweep it through the sand, it wouldn't be long before the powerful attraction of that magnetic force would suck all those iron pieces out of that sand and would attract it to it. You want people to be attracted to you as a Christian? You want people drawn to you as a Christian? You want to help people to see the element of the things? That magnetic force that you have available to you as a Christian is your gratitude and thankfulness to God. That's the only thing that people are going to see and draw them to. God knows that the most powerful magnetic force in the world is a person who is thankful. He knows that. He knows that. And He knows how powerful it is and what all that it can do in a person's life. Because a thankful heart can sweep through any day. It can sweep through life. And all through that, it can detect and it can find and see all the wonderful blessing that it's experienced in that given day. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Think about it. What causes us not to be thankful? What causes us to have a struggle, to really get down on our knees and to really open our hearts with a song of praise and gratitude? What is there? What is going on? What happens in individual lives? Even Christians, even us. What causes us not to be able to really have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving? Well, I believe, number one, many, many, many people become absorbed with the gift and not the giver. All they have on their eyes focus is on what they're getting, not who's giving it to them. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good thing. Every good thing you've experienced in life, it has come from God. But it's so easy, isn't it, to focus on that which we have been given rather than disconnect from the gift and look and give praise to the one who gave it to us. That makes sense? I believe also in our world out there today, people are, number two, ignorant. Not only of the gift, but of the giver. Now listen to what Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says. It says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give God thanks. They become futile in their speculations. Their foolish hearts were darkened and they worship the creature rather than the Creator. It's called humanism. That everything focuses and centers around me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Narcissism is eating us up as a people. It's destroying our country. We have somebody who is full with it, that's directing this land, and it's filling our politicians, and it's filling our educational world. It's all about me. It's all about me. And so many people today, because it's all about them, are people who are living lives of total, completely ungrateful, ungrateful people. We have children who are grateful for the parents who have given their lives for them, fed them, clothed them for years. Seriously. Seriously. We are an ungrateful culture because all of our focus now, not on the gift, nor is it on the giver. It's on me. It's on me. It's all about me today. Listen to people talk. Listen to them talk. How many marriages are being destroyed today because I am not getting anything out of my relationship anymore? It's all about me. It's not about what am I giving, what am I doing, it's what am I receiving. Some become in it because of the personal conceit. We are a conceited people in America today, whether we like to admit it or not. But 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who regards you as superior? And what do you have that you did not receive? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Well, I've worked hard all my life, right? Man, I mean, you think about every aspect. What have you got that you weren't given? Come on. Answer the question. Who gave you your abilities and your talents? Who gave you whatever it is that you're gifted with? Who gave it to you? Where did you get it? How did you receive it? You see? And yet we boast and we're conceited because I, again, have done this. I built this, and I created this, and I've originated this, and I, and so on and so forth, but yet there is not an ability or a talent or a gift of knowledge you've received that somebody, God, gave it to you. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I do. There's nothing you have, nor have you ever received, that it didn't come from God. Remember, every good and perfect gift comes down from Him, our Father, and there's no shadow and variation of turning. Some take the blessing as a matter of course. Some believe that's just the way it's supposed to be. You know what happens to those kind of people? If you just take everything as a matter of course, I've got to tell you what happened. It won't be long before you're going to become a very bitter person. You're going to become angry. You really are. And you're going to be looking at what other people have and what you don't have. Your focus will be not how blessed you are because of what you have received. You're going to be looking at everyone else out there, and that's called envy. Envy always creates jealousy. I know dads who are jealous because their sons are doing and have created better lifestyles than they ever will have created and could create in their lifestyle. Rather than rejoicing with them and being glad, I'm glad my children are doing well because they're going to take care of Mom and I. That's supposed to be funny. Okay? Because I know God's going to take care of us no matter what. But the point is, that's what I see in people. They concentrate. People are concentrating today because of our culture on what they don't have rather than what they do have. They're envious, jealous people. They're getting a raw deal as far as life is concerned. Okay? I've quoted my grandma and grandpa a lot. It's amazing how those things stuck in my mind as a little boy growing up. And of course, granddad was very good at, like I am, as repeating the same things over and over and over again. The one I like the best, you know, is some people talk by the yard, think by the inch, and need to be moved by the foot. I always liked that one. But grandma was bedridden for 22 years with rheumatoid arthritis. She laid on her back. She couldn't feed herself. She couldn't wait on herself. But you know what? All I can remember from Grandma's mouth was how thankful she was. She was a grateful woman. Thankful, God-fearing woman. She really was. And this is her quote.
Being thankful makes everything taste better. I remember like, Billy, being thankful makes everything taste better. Now, Granddad wasn't a very good cook. So I know what she meant by that. But she was grateful. She was always thankful. And they had this big tree outside of the window of the cabin, and they had birdhouses in it. And she'd sit there, lay there all day long, and she knew all those birds by name. She did. She did. And she was so grateful to God just for bringing all those birds to those birdhouses and letting her see them. You see, our prayer life would taste better if it would be based on the things that we're grateful for, wouldn't it? We in America probably could take heed to Moses' warning when he gave it to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, when you shall have eaten and be full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord. It's so easy to forget, isn't it? When everything's going well, our tables are full, we got extra in the freezer, we got extra in the refrigerator, we're a blessed people, and it's easy to forget to whom we should be grateful and thankful for. So I'm sure all of you agree with me that no matter how full our lives may be, to not be thankful, is ending up and we're going to be walking the road of spiritual skid row. People are dying spiritually today because they're losing the taste of thankfulness. They really are. You see, life without thankfulness is lacking in a fine perception. If you're not thankful, you're not going to be able to see beyond your nose. You're not. Thankfulness is what opens your eyes and enlightens you. You see all the good and the wonderful things of life. Most people that are not thankful are pessimistic. They're fatalists. They don't see anything good in anything. And they're miserable people. Their perception is unbelievable. You remember what our scripture said from Philippians today? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, pure, lovely, of good report, have any virtue, have any praise, then let your mind do what? Let your mind dwell on these things. You see, you have control over what you allow your brain, your mind, your thought to dwell on. You really do. Life without thankfulness is devoid of love and passion. It really is. When you're not thankful for your husband and your children anymore, I guarantee you, your life will be void of love and compassion for your husband or your wife or your children. Love is what opens the doors and the gates of God's blessing. Love, thanksgiving, cannot be separated. They just really cannot. How about your hope? How about your faith? What is faith without thanksgiving? Without thankfulness, it lacks strength, doesn't it? It lacks fortitude to hold us. Okay? I mean, you look at people who are wavering in their faith, who are struggling and battling with their faith and their trust in God, and I guarantee you, they have stopped being a grateful people. And their faith has lost its strength and its fortitude to hold them through whatever it is they may be going through. Any virtue that is divorced of thanksgiving is going to be maimed. It is. It's going to be limping along in life. Sorry, Bonnie left. But anyway. Colossians 2:7, in closing, being rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. To abound in thanksgiving means that it makes you more positive. You're a positive person. So whatsoever things are good and pure and lovely and of good report, that is what you talk about. That is what you focus on. That is your main element of life. Okay? It makes you a gracious person. So gracious that whenever you are blessed, you know the next step for you is to share that blessing with somebody else and to glorify God in result of it. You'll find that in thanksgiving, you'll be a more loving person. We love because He first loved us. And you and I experience His loving kindness from the morning to the evening, God's loving kindness is with us, isn't it? And when we lay down at night, we should be grateful for His faithfulness to us through that day. And it makes us humble. Because every good gift comes down from our Father of lights in heaven. And how much good have you experienced in life? And do you know the source of that good? I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. That's our text for today. We're going to stand together. And we're going to read that passage of Scripture because I believe, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will take it and stamp it into your heart and your mind and that you'll do what it says. This is not sermon material. This is God's Word. This is the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Anxiety is killing American people. It's killing us. And some of us have not learned to cast all of our anxiety upon Him, 1 Peter 3, because He cares for us. So let's stand together. Let's listen and read together Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Are you there? Read it. Follow along. It just simply begins with what 1 Thessalonians said. Rejoice. Right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, response time. And again I say, rejoice. Okay? Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. You hear that? Huh? Because when you're filled with anxiety, you're miserable. You're hard to get along with. Your spirit isn't gentle. You're mad. You're angry. You're uptight. You just cannot handle things. And you express it and you take it up on. Who do you usually take it out on? Those that are closest to you, the ones who love you the most. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. What? Let your gentle spirit. You see that? You know what it says? Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? Why? Because the Lord is near. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So be anxious for nothing. What does that mean? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, listen to what it says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And don't tell me your hearts and your mind don't need someone guarding them. And only God can do that. You know that? Only God can put a wedge of guard around your hearts and your mind. So that whatever the world and whatever's going on isn't going to keep you and isn't going to destroy you. God will guard your hearts and your minds. And then finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And everybody said, amen. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we thank you for all the great and wonderful blessings of life you poured upon us. We're especially thankful, Father, for your grace, for your peace, for your loving kindness, for your faithfulness to us, for your presence, and for the power you give us to live each day and to become more and more the kind of people you want us to be. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit that you would pour it out upon each of us here today. And God, give us a spirit of thanksgiving. May we be a thankful people. May we be a magnetic force that will draw people to us because they see that we indeed have a Father in heaven who is faithful to us, who guards our hearts and our minds, who is able to overcome and take care of all the issues of life that we face. So may today, at this point and this time, may every one of us cast all of our cares, our anxieties upon you, and know that God, that Jesus is willing and able to bear those burdens and those cares with us and bring us victory in our personal lives. I thank you for each one's here today, and just bless us as we share these thoughts. May your Holy Spirit use them to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.